This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. So what do we know about the extremists that stormed the Capitol in D.C. on Wednesday? With us now is Alexandra Ministern, professor of American culture, history, and women's studies at the University of Michigan. She's the author of the book Proud Boys and the White Ethnostate, How the Alt-Right is Warping the American Imagination. We spoke with her last fall after the failed kidnapping plot against Governor Gretchen Whitmer, and she's back today to talk about what happened in Washington. Alex, hi there.
Hi there.
Will you tell me what you saw happening in the footage from the nation's capital yesterday?
What I saw was a pretty heterogeneous group of far-right actors who stormed the Capitol and engaged in what can only be described as extremist and insurrectionary activity. And the goal was to disrupt the Electoral College counting process, which they managed to do, although, as we know, lawmakers reconvened later in the day and into the night. And I think that they were very much incited by President Trump and by some of the others who have been behind this hashtag Stop the Steal movement. It really was a mixture of conspiracy theorists like QAnon. I mean, that was present there. It really, if you look at who was there, for the most part, it consisted of angry white men who were upset for a range of different reasons. And, you know, one of the things that I've been reflecting on is the Stop the Steal message is not only about the election, it's about how this group feels aggrieved about what they think has been taken away from them, is kind of their, you know, God-given right to possess and to, you know, to have dominion over certain aspects of American society. So the Stop the Steal is as much about dispossession of these angry white men as about the election. And I think that's a motif we're going to see playing out after Biden becomes president.
So the people who we saw carrying furniture around in the Capitol building and smashing windows and fighting with Capitol police, in many cases, they were conspicuously not wearing anything that might identify them with a particular group. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it was a real mixed group of people who found this message and felt emboldened to action. You know, they found the message on social media and through their networks. I think some of them were connected to organizations such as the Proud Boys. It should be noted that the Proud Boys leader himself was arrested and then removed from Washington, D.C., so he was not there. He had instructed his followers to not wear the Proud Boys insignia, but to appear in all black to be more incognito. I'm not sure how much. The scenes from the Capitol are so chaotic, it's actually hard to tell exactly who is who and where they are. What I have seen from looking at social media, although you should always take this with a grain of salt in terms of images of some of these actors, are messages of anti-Semitism. There was someone wearing some shirts, but the Holocaust deniers and things like that. So I think one of the things that is challenging about, you know, this movement is how pervasive it is and how elusive it is, and how much anger there is that is being directed, and it is dispersed in so many different directions.
We've talked about this before, but I think it bears reexamining in this moment. How do we extricate political motivations, which may spring from misinformation, from an urge to create chaos? Or is that a distinction that is worth making?
Well, it's an interesting question. I would say that it almost is a futile exercise to ask that logical of a question in the context of the chaos that we saw yesterday. And really, the desire was to do damage, to storm the Capitol, to cause unrest, to disrupt a very prescribed process of the electoral vote counting. And you can see that in the footage that was captured from yesterday, just how chaotic this was. I would say that, you know, rather than looking for that in the actors themselves who stormed the Capitol yesterday, the extremists who stormed it, to look at the interplay between some of the politicians who have been abetting and inflaming this situation, where their political motivations, whether they actually believe or not there was fraud, you know, are very much in play, because they're overwhelming. They are Republicans who are part of this contingent that voted not to certify certain electors, who are upset that, you know, they lost the election. And also, you know, from some accounts, that some of the key senators who were leading the charge, such as Josh Hawley of Missouri and Ted Cruz of Texas, that they have presidential ambitions themselves, and that was part of their motivation. So I think it depends on what angle you're looking at this from. What we do know is that the president and some of his other, you know, kind of key allies, although those numbers have been diminishing after we have seen the violence yesterday, and some of them have sought to distance themselves from him. But nonetheless, you know, they really have incited and inflamed the situation, and he basically was giving them directives to storm the Capitol, and that is indeed what they did. So, you know, he needs to own it, and the other political figures who participated in those same type, that same type of messaging, they also need to own it.
Do you see a direct link between what happened in Lansing last spring, that is to say the protests that were taken on in the name of COVID health restrictions, the protests that happened in Lansing last spring, and what happened in D.C. yesterday?
I think that really what happened, what we saw in Lansing last spring, served in many ways as a dry run for what happened in much larger proportions at the Capitol yesterday. And there's a few reasons I say that. First of all, many of the profiles of the far-right actors were the same in terms of who showed up, who's angry, who wanted to take down the government and challenge political structures and law enforcement and so on. So there's a lot of similarities in the actual beliefs and ideologies and the kind of profile of the people in the groups that showed up. Second, a lot of this happened through social media organizing. We know that in Lansing, private Facebook groups were used, and increasingly social media platforms such as Parler are being utilized by many of these people to organize and to kind of find this, you know, to kind of do these crowdsourced and then eventually these, you know, mobs. And then finally, there's just a lot of shared similar ideologies that they have in terms of being anti-government and, you know, really wanting, not believing in democracy and being anti-democratic. And that's where, you know, that's what the crisis is. It's a crisis of democracy and of illiberalism and of those who are actually trying to really take down our democratic system and way of government, whether it's in Lansing in the context of our own Governor Whitmer and COVID issues, and or whether it's in Washington, D.C. around the electoral vote counting.
Alex, we have less than a minute to go here. We hear people sometimes say, well, the left was in the street all last spring and summer. This is something analogous on the right. Does that ring true to you?
That is another example of a false equivalency between radical far-right extremists and those who were out in the streets protesting for social and racial justice, and in the context of, you know, a brutal police killing of a black man in Minneapolis on top of many other occasions. Those groups did not storm the Capitol. They did not break glass and break down windows. I mean, they were not seeking to disrupt electoral process. So I think that that is something we really need to be careful of naming this for what it is. This is the rise of authoritarian populism in the United States with a politically diverse set of actors who are not going anywhere anytime soon, and we will be living with this kind of volatility and potential violence in the years to come.
Alex Minna-Stern teaches American culture, history, and women's studies at the University of Michigan. Alex, thanks for your time.
Thank you.